Wünschst du dir jemanden, der dich versteht wie kein anderer? Jemand, der deine Wünsche wahr werden lässt und mit dir das schönste Abenteuer deines Lebens erleben möchte? Die Commerce-Plattform Shopify revolutioniert Millionen von Unternehmen weltweit. Mit Shopify richtest du im Nu deinen Online-Shop ein. Ganz ohne Programmier- oder Designkenntnisse. Dank der effizienten Einrichtung und intuitiven Social-Media- und Online-Marketplace-Integration kannst du über Instagram, eBay und Co. werben und verkaufen. Neue Zielgruppen zu erreichen war noch nie so einfach. Shopify bietet auf einer einzigen sicheren Plattform alle Tools, um dein Online-Business aufzubauen. Kostenlos testen und dein Business der Welt präsentieren. Shopify.de/try besuchen. Einfach Shopify.de/try eingeben und loslegen. Made for Germany. Powered by Shopify.
In Deutschland streamen jeden Tag Millionen von Menschen Musik, Podcasts und Online-Radio. Digital Audio ist mehr als nur ein Hintergrundgeräusch. Es ist ein wichtiger Bestandteil des täglichen Lebens. Und mit seinen präzisen Targeting-Möglichkeiten ist es eines der am schnellsten wachsenden Medien überhaupt. Erfahren Sie auf katzdigital.com, wie Digital Audio Ergebnisse liefert. Das ist katzdigital.com.
The Spindly Man is said to lurk in the densest, thickest forest of New Hampshire. He flits from tree to tree like a shadow, made of metal, they say. And if he sees you, then he steals your way. Forever. He is particularly fond of children, goes the rumor, though most of the people who go missing in these forests are adults. Hikers and campers and the like. Jen, I murmur to my friend, peering over the wheel to either side of the road, scanning the undergrowth. I don't think we're going to see him. No, just a little further, she says, squinting in the darkness. The headlights of the car are switched on, but they have not been set to their brightest. The engine growls as we trundle along. Alex, I don't know when we're going to be back here, so we have to make the most of it now. We could come back tomorrow, I suggest. We'll have a few hours in the evening. I see her shake her head in the side of my vision. No, it has to be at night. Night, proper darkness. Says who? The forums, she replies matter-of-factly, pressing the button to slide down the window so she can get a better look into the wilds. Cool forest air, thick with the scent of pine, drifts into the car. I sigh. We left the main road about 2 hours ago, and we left the road that branched off from that about an hour ago. We're maybe 45 minutes deep down a road that hasn't been fixed up or attended to in years. The last building we saw was a lonely, unmanned gas station way back in the forest, right near the turnoff. I don't think we're going to see him, I mutter, still scanning the forest. We will. This is textbook stuff. Two teenagers out after dark, in the woods. If we don't see him, well, then he just doesn't exist. And what are we expecting again, of this spindly man? Come on, Alex, Jen says to me, looking right at me with a huff. I've told you already, he's incredibly thin, hence the name. He looks like he's made of metal sticks, though he moves very quickly and hides in the shadows. And he wants to take his victims away, is that right? Mm-hmm. And what does that entail, exactly? Jennifer giggles. Nobody knows, she whispers in her best spooky voice, as something catches my eye out there in the darkness. I slam on the brakes. The tires screech against the road. Damn! Jen shouts, the tension of the vehicle suddenly taut. What is that? Is it... No, I interrupt as my heart rate cools right back down. No, it's not the spindly man. But it is something interesting. I peer at it from the driver's seat, catching my breath. It's just slightly out of range of the headlights, but it glitters and reflects. It's metal, I tell her. So that's what made me... Well, you know, I thought for a second. You really had me going for a moment, Jennifer says with an anxious laugh, rattled. Maybe you were right. We could always come back tomorrow. No, look at it, Jen, at the metal. It's probably just some junk that someone threw out. No, I don't think it is. In a curious reversal of roles, it is now I who wants to investigate further. Jen, now unsettled, seems to want to head back. Alex. But I ignore her and open the car door. Alex. I step out of the vehicle, leaving the engine running, and my feet crunch on the pine needles and the busted tarmac of the road as I head to the bushes and undergrowth beneath the towering trees. It's a windless night, and beside the grumbling car, there are no further sounds. I crouch down by the metal. It isn't a piece of junk or something thrown from the car, and the longer I stare at it, the more curious it appears. It looks like it's growing. Growing up and out of the earth and the grass and into the trunk of the tree. I reach out to touch it, and as I do so, I start to feel a strange, gentle humming through my bones. Like a buzz, I guess. Like an electrical current. An incredibly weak one. I retract my hand. Then I reach back out for the metal root. The sensation returns, and all the hairs across my forearm rise up in unison. What the hell? I murmur to myself, bewildered. I hear a car door slam shut and the sound of approaching footsteps. Alex, Jen says. Look, let's just go back. You were right. No, Jen, just wait a second. Come check this thing out. What is it? I don't know, but put your hand near it. Jen crouches down beside me and brushes her hair from her face before reaching out her hand to the metal root. She experiences the same sensation as myself. Whoa, that's creepy, she says, and I accept the truth in her words. It is pretty creepy, to be honest. I rest back on my haunches and look around. It's just us, a gentle, rumbling car, and the endless trees. Endless, dark trees beneath a cool, moonless night. There's another one over there, Jen says, and I look back to her. She has risen back up to a stand, and I do likewise, following her eyeline. A little bit further down the road, and a little bit further back into the forest, is another metal root. This one looks longer. I'm just going for a quick look, Jen, I swear, I tell her, half jogging down the road, and still within the lights of the car. I clamber through the closest rows of bushes and ferns and forest vines to get a closer look. This root, as I've taken to calling them, is longer than the last. Like the Loch Ness Monster, it loops over and under the earth, disappearing at one end into the thickets, and the other carries up the side of a tree before vanishing into the wood. What the hell is this thing? I mutter. I can feel the electrical current a little stronger now. I take a step deeper into the woods. I'm afraid. But I'm not that afraid. My fear is a general sense of being alone in a spooky place, not some sharp terror at being taken by the spindly man, or whatever. There must be a rational explanation. People go missing in these woods because they get lost, that's all. They lose their way, and I'm not going to lose my way. I can still see the road. The lights of the car could not be more obvious. I'm perfectly safe. I reach into my pocket for my phone. I want to take a picture of this thing, but the second I tap the button to turn it on, the screen immediately goes to full brightness. It hums in my hand, and the flash goes off, temporarily blinding me. Ah, I mutter in dismay, and my phone goes still. Once I've blinked away the colourful aura stamped into my retinas, I realise that my phone is now dead. Completely lifeless. I tried tapping it further, pressing and holding the power button, but nothing works. I'll have to try booting it back up from the charger at the hotel. Alex, Jen calls again from behind. Come on, please, can we head back? I sigh and stand up. Yeah, I guess. Probably not smart being alone in the woods anyway. I guess we got carried away. My phone's being weird too. My gaze carries on deeper into the woods, and I'm taken aback by what I see. There are more of those metal roots intertwined with the natural roots and merge into the trees. Lots more, in fact. One of them carries way up the trunk, winding around and around, partially subsumed into the wood. I lift my neck to look up to the treetops. The treetops appear to be connected with wires. As I turn my head to move from side to side, they catch in the light through the branches from the car. They're everywhere, woven between the branches and disappearing into the dark, gently wavering, softly shaking leaves. I hesitate. My gut warns me that I'm in danger before I can register why. My heart rate begins to shoot right back up. "Go back," warns a voice in my head. "Get back to the car, Alex." The leaves rustle, and I realize now why this is an issue. There's no wind. The night air is dead still. I begin to make a hasty retreat back through the forest, stumbling through the bushes and being far less careful than I was on my approach. Thorns cut my lower legs as I scramble desperately back towards the road. Something metallic creaks in the darkness overhead. "No," I shout out. "Stay back." "Alex, what's wrong?" Jen is at the roadside. She grabs my hand as I stumble over the bushes. "Get back in the car," I tell her. "Quick, go, go, go." She can hear the panic in my voice, and she doesn't argue. It takes all my willpower not to stop and look behind me as motion catches in the corner of my eye. A shadowy shape scampering down through the shadows of the trees. We jump back into the car, hearts racing, and slam the doors tight closed as Jen winds up the window. "Alex," she says, grabbing my arm, "what is it?" But I don't respond. I simply stare ahead through the windscreen window. Jen turns to follow my gaze and slams her hand to her mouth. Here is what I see. It is all saved in my mind, like a screenshot in the highest definition. I see a long, straight, and damaged road, littered with pine needles, and leading away into the darkness of the unknown. On either side are an army of trees, silent and watchful and terrible in their stillness. Beyond the beams of the car, their leaves become quickly lost to the night, and it is impossible to tell where the trees end and the sky begins. Beneath these silent sentinels is a frozen sea of grass and undergrowth, as if the water was caught mid-wave, tumbling and crashing and frothing up onto a stony beach, and promptly transformed into green matter, into foliage, thick and intertwined. And, at the side of the road, creeping from these waves of thorns and directly into the center of the light, is the Spindly Man. I don't know if I can convey in words how utterly repulsive this thing truly is. Its very presence on the road is an assault against my sense of reason. For starters, it shouldn't be able to hold itself up. My knuckles turn white on the wheel. The Spindly Man is impossibly thin. He is comprised of straight metal bars that bend in roughly the places you would expect to find a human's joints. At the knees, at the elbows, etc. He is a stick figure brought to life. His head is made of thin mesh wire, curved and formed into a rough ball around the central pole of his body. He walks like I imagine a deer would walk if it was told to walk on two legs. My skin crawls, and the Spindly Man lifts his head to look at us. He has two glowing orange eyes, like bulbs, I suppose. And for a moment, we regard each other, us two teenagers, and this monster in the road. And then, he screams. Every hair on my body stands on end as he twitches and convulses, contorting and scratching at his face with fingerless hands. The noise is metallic and high-pitched to the point of being painful. The Spindly Man's body twitches as he writhes and shakes, and then he quickly lifts his face once again, sprinting to the car and slamming himself up against the hood. The lights of the car fade in and out in tune to the frequency of his screams. "Alex! Alex!" Jen shouts at me in terror. "Alex, drive!" And I do so. I twist the key and slam the car into reverse, the engine revving angrily as we shoot backwards down the road and perform a half turn, knocking the back up into a tree as I do so. The spindly man stumbles to the road and then picks himself back up, running at full speed towards the car through the darkness. "Alex!" Jen screams, and with a lurch I slam the car into drive and tear off down the road, back through the forest and back the way we came. My cheeks start to hurt, and I realize that I've been clenching and grinding my teeth this entire time. I try to force myself to relax them as the spindly man tears after the car in my rearview mirror. He matches the speed of the car, his two orange eyes glowing in the shadows as he races after us. "Alex, he's not stopping!" Jen forces out through whimpers. "Alex!" I shoot a quick glance down to Jennifer's seatbelt, ensuring that she has it on. And then, with a deep breath, I slam my foot down onto the brake. We are both thrown forwards, Jen and I, with a grunt and a great mechanical creak from the car, and the spindly man crashes at full speed into the back with a great slam and a shower of tinkling glass. I seize the moment and bring across my foot, slamming down on the accelerator and roaring us away through the night, the engine of the car howling in protest. We leave the spindly man behind us, a crumpled pile of metal poles and wires in the middle of the road. We sit in silence for a while, too afraid to break the tension. The tension of what it was that we saw back there in the forest. It isn't until I've brought us back onto a slightly more urbanized road that Jen finally cracks. "Did you see them, Alex?" she whispers, and my stomach lurches. By talking about it out loud, she had given life to what it was that we saw as we sped away. Because we didn't just see the spindly man back there in the forest. We saw a little bit more than that. As we were driving away and leaving the curious, crackling electric energy of the forest to the darkness, we spotted something else through the shattered glass of the back window. A great many something else's. All across the treetops, looking down at us from their perches, with countless twinkling orange bulb eyes in the night, with dozens upon dozens of them. Of the creatures, the spindly men, watching us go, reaching out their fingerless hands towards the car, and screaming, screaming that I could have sworn came glitching through the radio, for us to come back.
Alltag in der IT-Zentrale.
Team, gerade wird das neue Produktvideo im Taxi bearbeitet.
Alles okay. Der Laptop hat KI-Features für das Video-Editing. Damit kann man unterwegs effizient weiterarbeiten.
Und die sensiblen Daten?
Der KI-Workload läuft auf dem PC, nicht in der Cloud. Und Sicherheitsfeatures mit KI können Bedrohungen früher erkennen.
Diese KI-Sache hat schon was.
KI für Firmen-PCs mit Intel Core Ultra und Intel vPro. Kein Produkt bietet absolute Sicherheit. Mehr auf intel.de/ITHeroes.